Little did I realize, ladies and gentlemen, that when I titled my show on Wednesday, The War Against Midian Part 1, that there would be any such thing as The War Against Midian Part 3. And yet here we are on Friday. This is going to be a tough show, which is why I'm going to light a cigar. I thought about buttoning the bottom button of this beach shirt here. You see this beach shirt? It'd be more conservative, but, you know, I'm going to let it go. And I don't smoke cigars, usually. I smoked when I was in the bunker, right, if you remember. Okay, having trouble. I got to concentrate on this. This is called an Avanti. They're under a buck a piece. I had them imported from the U.S. It's kind of the cigars Clint Eastwood used to smoke. See, they're kind of stubby. And I'm having a hard time lighting this. It's going to be a tough show. Thank you for your patience. We're going to the War Against Midian Part 3. But first, I got to share with you an email that a friend of mine sent me concerning what I was talking about last week. Earlier this week, Monday, seems like last week, about God, Jesus, and the snatching away, and babies and children left behind. My friend writes, and he says, I can just hear God saying, Frank, I'm going to transform you into your celestial body. But since you have children, I was going to transform you, but since you have children who are not on their own yet, you'll have to stay on Earth to finish getting them out of the nest. After that, then you can come up here with those who were lucky enough to be snatched away after their children were old enough to leave the house. And my friend sums that up with, doesn't sound very likely. In other words, the snatching away has to happen sometime. And this is interesting. Why aren't I getting good results out of this cigar? Maybe this is a dud. It could be a dud. If it is, I'll put it out and forget about it because I know I'm distracting you. I'm distracting myself. I could be giving God a bad name right now, but I don't think so. So, Jesus himself said that woe to those, you know, nursing in that day because... And woe if it's the Sabbath day. He's speaking purely on human terms, which in a sense I like because these spiritual things are enacted in the realm of humanity. So these are practical considerations. And I don't blame anybody for considering these things, but to throw out scripture to accommodate these things, that's where I draw the line. I won't have it. All right, so I think I've finally got this thing lit. Patience requires patience. It's got an anisette flavored, this cigar to it. It used to be an Italian company, Avanti, but they bought it. A company in Pennsylvania bought it. And so I was introduced to these things in Pennsylvania because, you know, there are a bunch of sinners there. And so I got to like them. They have a little licorice flavor. All of this... because it's going to be a tough show to go against Midian again, the War Against Midian Part 3. I'm going to do that right now. And we left off where God is ordering the killing, wholesale killing of people. Yeah, and yesterday's show was tough too. It wasn't tough. It was emotional for me, and it probably was for you too. And I'm glad. I'm glad that we can look at this truth and not be detached from it. We're not trying to be a bunch of eggheads and be filled with practical knowledge so we know the Bible better than anybody else. This stuff affects us, and it must affect us because it's real. It's not divorced from our humanity. And God doesn't expect us to be emotionless. That's the occasion I have against the Eastern religions is that... you know, these monks are supposed to be stoic, and you're supposed to have the same expression on your face as when you win the lottery and when you lose your loved one. You're supposed to be stoic, and that's ridiculous. Our Lord wept at the death of his friend Lazarus, and he celebrated the wedding at Cana, provided more wine for them, and for all I know, more Italian cigars. I finally got this thing lit. I'm happy about that, and I must be happy because what I'm about to tell you. And they made war against Midian. They sent 1,000 from every tribe, 12,000 people. And the sons of Israel take captive the women of Midian and their infants and all their cattle and all their substance and all their wealth they have plundered. And all their cities with their inhabitants and all their towns they have burnt with fire. Sounds like Sherman going through the South. Sorry for anybody listening to me from Richmond, Virginia. And they take all the spoil and the prey among men and among beasts, and they bring it into Moses and unto Eleazar the priest, and unto the company of the sons of Israel, the captives and the prey and the spoil unto the camp. But I don't have to be doing this. I want you to know that, because everything I want to tell you is in verse 49. That's the key to the whole thing. So I could have skipped this whole part, but because it's instructive and because it's tough, I'm tackling it. I tackle the tough things. So they bring the spoil into Moses and unto the priest. They bring the captives, the prey, the spoil to the camp under the plains of Moab, where they are, which are by Jordan near Jericho. And Moses and Eleazar, the priest, and all the princes of the company go out to meet the 12,000 outside of the camp. And Moses is wroth, and that's a Bible word for pissed. He's wroth against the inspectors of the force, chiefs of the thousands, and chiefs of the hundreds who are coming in from the host of the battle. And Moses said, "Have you kept alive every female? This is tough for you women, I understand that. And I'm not saying I like it. But Moses was wroth because they were supposed to kill the females and the males and the males. It's an equal opportunity slaughter. This was supposed to be an equal opportunity slaughter, just like the days of Noah. But they kept certain women for themselves. Lo, they have been to the sons of Israel through the word of Balaam to cause a trespass against Jehovah. They, meaning the women, they have been to the sons of Israel through the word of Balaam to cause a trespass against Jehovah in the matter of Peor." In other words, women were used as prostitutes to bring the sons of Israel to the worship of false deities. Women were used for this. I don't know why. Don't ask me. But it seemed to be consistent with King Solomon, doesn't it? In that his many wives and concubines led him astray. So women, historically, in the Old Testament, are used to lead astray. I'm sorry, I'm just reporting here. They have been to the sons of Israel through the word of Balaam to cause a trespass against Jehovah in the matter of Peor. Peor. Sorry, I always stutter when I get to that God. I hate poor Baal Peor, my least favorite false god. And the plague is in the company of Jehovah. And now slay ye every male among the infants. This is tough. Slay the male babies. And every woman known of man by the line of a male ye have slain. So he wants them to kill the women who have laid with men. Any woman that had sex with a man is supposed to be killed, as well as the male children. I'm sorry. Again, I'm just reporting. God is tough. And this is tough because God kills, but he can make alive. And the slaying, they didn't put them in jail for years. They just killed them with the sword. It was quick. Am I trying to justify it? Yes, I am. I'm trying hard to justify it. And all the infants among the women who have not known the lying of a male. What? All the infants? Okay. All the infants among the women who have not known the lying of a male, you have kept alive for yourselves. And ye encamp at the outside of the camp 7 days. Any who hath slain a person, and any who hath come against a pierced one, yea, cleanse yourselves on the third day, and on the seventh day, ye and your captives. This is why people think God is insane. I understand that. And God is doing this on purpose. He's doing this on purpose because his verses like these kill the women who have had sex. It's verses like these that cause the world to say, we don't want anything to do with this God. And I get it. And it's God is doing this on purpose so that who's going to stay with me? And it's like he did when Jesus was on earth. Jesus said many hard things that caused disciples to run from him, like eat my body, drink my blood. And people said, nobody can hear this. And so they split. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, are you going to split too? And they said, where else can we go? So like, who's with me? By these things, we see faith grown. And we have to read other scriptures besides this. If you think I'm going to leave you with a passage like this, you're crazy. I'm going to point you to resurrection. I'm always pointing you to the outcome. And I'm always saying that this proves that God is responsible. And if he wants to, he can slay children and women and men. He doesn't spare the men. It's actually the women he spares. He spares the women who have not known men. So there's something about this intercourse that was bad news for Israel because it was so easy for them to be led away. It was like a virus in their midst. It's so easy for Israel to be led away to idolatry. You say, well, Martin, it's a good thing we are not in that day today. We're not, but we are. We are in that day today. And the idolatry just doesn't so happen to be this obvious idolatry where you go have sex with a woman, and through that intermediary, through that priestess, you're introduced to a foreign god who has a, you know, ugly mustache and horns. Now the idolatry is more subtle. It's hidden. It's been sanitized. It's been homogenized and digitalized. I just made that up, digitized. But it has been whitewashed. And now the idol becomes our own conceptions of God. God hates idols because he hates a false image. And so when the churches paint God as a eternal tormentor or one who has given up his will and given you your own sovereign realm so that you can do what you want because he's a gentleman and he's not going to interfere with your life, that is a false God. That's a false image. That's just as false of an image as the idols of Baal Peor. Just as false. And I dare say that in some cases, not all cases, but maybe 51% women are leading their men into church. It's the women who tend to be emotional, and they like the singing, and they like the friends, and they like all the accoutrements of fellowship. And so the men go to please the women, just like Solomon probably said, yeah, I'll worship Baal Peor because you have great legs, or because you won't give me sex if I don't go. So the women have power over men, and I think this is being recognized here. And again, there was a day when this was commonplace, but we're not in that day. But we're so, this other day, that which is coming again in Revelation, it's so foreign to us that we read stuff like this and our heads explode. And we should be extremely thankful that we're living in an era of grace. And I want you to leave today being more thankful than ever. Slay, 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 infants, women, oh, not less, slay, keep these, kill those, and you encamp at the outside of the camp, verse 19, 7 days. I'm not going to read all of this. I'm not going to read all of this. You got already the picture here. Several things I want you to learn from this, several things. Trying to keep it all straight in my head. Of course, my ultimate purpose, why I went into the war against Midian in the first place, is to show you that God seals certain people, and they will go through. And as we're going to see in verse 49, the culmination of all this, that God is able to keep. So I want you to see that there's a precedent for that. Secondly, I wanted you to see that God is in control of women and children and men, and he kills who he wants and he preserves who he wants. That's God's prerogative. We're not God. If I was God, I'd preserve them all. No death in my universe. No. You want to worship a false God? You know, we'll fine you, like a parking fine. $30. All right? No, God impales them on a stake. Paul mentions this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 or 11 somewhere. He mentions Baal Peor in Paul's letters. This is mentioned. So this is not completely irrelevant. But it is in the fact that we're in an era of grace now. 13 minutes, you're kidding me. So I better get to the culmination of all this, shouldn't I? I better climax this here. I get us to the climax of all this killing. And where does it come out? Verse 49. I'm going to skip a bunch of verses because I'm tired of it myself. And let's go to verse 48. And the inspectors, whom the thousands of the host had, heads of the thousands of the heads of hundreds, drew near Moses. They say, I know that was, forget that. They said to Moses, thy servants have taken up the sum of the men of war who are with us, and not a man of us has been missed. Not a man has been missed. That's the point. Verse 49, not a man has been missed. This was a miracle that they sent 12,000 men, Israelites, and the women were spared of Israel, but the women of Midian were not. They sent 12,000 men out. 12,000 men came back. Exactly. God does not lose one number. It's literal, 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 right down the line. If you're going to make the 144,000 spiritual, that is not literal. That is somehow symbolic, metaphoric. We're going to figure out what this means. Then why don't you do that with Numbers 31, when God seals 1,000 from every tribe, and every single one of those went through the war and came back unscathed. Unscathed. Well, they may have had cuts and bruises, I don't know. may have stubbed their toes. They may have, you know, gotten a sore arm and running the sword through everybody, but none of them were killed. God is able to keep, and God will keep. And let this be a comfort to you over the weekend. And think on this, that you are just as sealed, and you are going to come through unscathed. Everything God is preserving for you is going to stay preserved. Everything God wants for you is going to happen. Everything He wants for your family is going to happen. Everything is going to happen according to God's plan. You can rest in that. These guys could go into war and know that I'm not going to be killed. Wouldn't that be fun to go to a war and know you're not going to be killed? I'm preserved. I'm sealed. Well, you are preserved and sealed along with me, along with all those in the body of Christ. Those who are not sealed, God still loves them. He's still their God. Someday, He's going to be their Father.